John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Trapped, scared, confused, at each other's throats, wondering when the other shoe was going to drop, wondering if there was any hope, unsure about things. That's what the disciples were. That's where they were at, hiding behind closed doors. The Lord had come back to life. The Lord had revealed Himself to several of the disciples already by this time. He had made Himself real and made Himself known, but the majority of the disciples were scared to death. They were trapped and wondering if there was any more hope. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for just a moment? The man that you've been following for 3 years, the one you'd seen done miracles and raised people from the grave, and the who had spoken to you and taught you, he was now gone. Even though he had said this was going to happen, he was now gone. He had been killed. He had been buried. His body had disappeared. And they didn't know what to do. And they looked at themselves and looked at each other and said, "Now what? What do we do?" In some ways, it corresponds to what we're going on in life right now. The pandemic is going away, kind of, sort of. There's still restrictions. There's all these things taking place. And the question is, what do we do now? How do we deal with life in this new era? How do we minister? How do we become a parent? How do we do this with our... How do we live our lives? There's a lot of people still scared. There's a lot of people still boarded up inside their homes. There's a lot of people who don't know what to do, what the next step is to take. If I get the shots, do I wear my mask inside? Do I wear my mask driving? Do I wear my mask outside? Do I not wear my mask? Do I just wear it for 5 minutes? Do I walk into a restaurant with my mask? But then when I sit down, I take my mask off. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of questions, and I'm not mocking any of that. But there's a lot of people who don't know what to do. But may I tell you this morning, we know what to do because we have God living inside of us. The disciples didn't know what to do. They were scared. As far as they knew, life was over as they knew it. And may I tell you this, I don't want us to go back to where it was before the pandemic. I don't want normal. Because you know why? Because of the fact we had gotten to the point in our spiritual lives and in our church lives where it was just the same old, same old, same old. We had gotten used to things going on. We got up, came to Sunday school, came to church, sang a few little songs. We went home, maybe come back on Sunday night. Wednesday night rolls around. If we have convenient time and we're able to do it, we'll come on Wednesday night just to keep the preacher off our back and those kinds of things. And that's what's happened to church life. But now it seems that we're realizing and understanding how important it is that we gather as believers, not just in this building, but that we be the church out there. The disciples didn't know what to do. They had never encountered this before. So let's look how Jesus deals with them. John chapter number 20, verse number 19. John chapter 20, verse number 19. Here's what the Bible says took place. John writes these words because he saw them firsthand. He says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." They didn't know what was going to take place. They thought, hey, they crucified Christ. They turned him over to the Romans to be crucified. Now they're coming for us. Can you imagine living your life that every... Am I going to die today? You hear this. And you're scared to death that someone's going to break in and take you to jail. Could you imagine living your life that way? That's what they were doing. Scared to death. May I infer this? And may I tell you this? That's not how God intends us to live our lives. We're not to be scared. We're not being given a spirit of fear. But we've been given a spirit of power through Jesus Christ. It says they were assembled for fear of the Jews. Right in the midst of this fear, Jesus comes and stands in their midst and says unto them, "Peace be unto you." Now, how in the world did he get through that locked door? How in the world did he suddenly appear? How many of you believed he came through the wall? Like the Hulk. Like the Kool-Aid Man. You remember that commercial? No, I don't believe that's what Jesus did. I believe that he appeared supernaturally. Come right through the wall. Now, wait a minute. How in the world could Jesus, who had died and was buried, how in the world could he come back and walk through a wall? Because Jesus Christ is God. Now, brothers and sisters, understand this. No matter how scared you get, no matter how alarmed you get, no matter the situation in your life you're wondering, Jesus Christ is still God, and he's still real, and he still wants to give us strength. Otherwise, he would have abandoned them and gone and found somebody else. Now, these are the very same disciples that ran away from him. These are the very same disciples who that night when he was arrested scattered like rats. The very same disciples. So why didn't Jesus give up on them? Why didn't he just say, you know what? I'm going to find another crew, another posse. Why didn't he do that? Because his mercy endureth forever. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have done or said or thought something that you deserve to have Jesus abandon you? Why doesn't he? Why doesn't he just throw you off the side of the road and find somebody else? His mercy and that song we just sang a few minutes ago, Amazing Grace. So the disciples are scared to death, and what's the first thing he says to them? You bunch of reprobates, I hate you. Now get right with me. What does he say? We're in church, you can say it. Peace. Peace be unto you. Peace. If I'm figuring right, there's some souls in this very room that need peace today. You're scared. You're unsure. The doctor says this. The boss says that. The government says this. Your spouse said that. Your children hate your guts. In my case, yeah. You need peace. Brothers and sisters, the very same Jesus Christ who spoke to those disciples in that room and he said peace is the very same Jesus Christ that's here right now saying peace. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When he come through that wall and appeared, I am sure they were freaking out. I am sure they were saying, oh no, now we've had it. And I can see him showing his hands, showing his side. Why did he do that? Why did he show them physically the scars, the marks? Why? To prove that he indeed was alive. Look at me, fellas. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. By the way, there's a lot of false Jesuses out there. There's a lot of false spirits out there. There's a lot of people out there who claim to be Christ. and they're making a great claim and claiming that they're all this. May I tell you, if it's different than what this book says, anybody who says Jesus is not God, they are the Antichrist. That's what John says. It says the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Jesus brought them peace. He wished them peace. He desired peace for them. And then he says, now that I'm giving you peace, you've got a job to do. It's not enough, brothers and sisters, that we just come on a Sunday morning and we sit and warm a pew. It's never been enough. If this is church to you, then you have missed the whole message of what the Scriptures say. You are the church. The living God lives inside of you when you know Jesus Christ, your Savior. You are to be the church to the world. You are to be the church at school. You are to be the church at work. You are to be the church driving down the road even when somebody cuts you off. You are to be the church everywhere you go. You are to represent Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, fellas, I'm giving you peace. Now here's your marching orders. I'm now sending you to go and spread this peace. I am now sending you to go and tell people about me. You have your marching orders. When I was in the military, they had an order form. And on this order form, it gave you all the dates and the times and the addresses, and they had your name specifically. And then they would have down towards the bottom specifically what your mission was. Where you were to go, when you were supposed to report there, and what you were supposed to do when you got there. You had that order form, and it was signed by the commander. And so when you traveled, you took this order form with you, and when you got to your base or wherever your job was going to be, you were to open that order form and you were to follow the orders. If you didn't, you had dire consequences. Brothers and sisters, we have been giving our orders. Well, I don't believe that, Brother Brian. I don't believe all these orders are applicable to me. Only the ones that I like. Only the ones that please me. And could you imagine my speaking to my CEO, my CFO, who was the chief financial officer? Could you imagine me going to his office and saying, listen, I liked some of the orders that you gave me. I liked the part where I got to go to the beach. I liked the part where I got to stay in the hotel. And I liked the part where you fed me and you gave me money for food. I even loved the free airfare that you gave me. Thank you for doing that. But when I got there, I just didn't feel like going to work. I just didn't feel like reporting to the commander. I didn't feel like it. I was tired. And so I just laid about, but thank you so much for the free trip. How many of you agree that I'm in a lot of trouble? Brothers and sisters, Jesus says, hey, even as I've been sent, I'm now sending you. I'm now sending you. You are to be my ambassadors. Then look what he says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Now this is pre-COVID, okay? He breathed on them. And it says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now why is that so important? Why is that so important that he gives them the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Go to John chapter 16. Hold your finger right here, go to John chapter 16. Here's why it's so important that he does this. John chapter 16. Verse Verse number 5. John chapter 16, verse number 5. Now this is before Christ has been crucified, before he was buried, before he resurrected. This is his final message he's giving to his disciples before these events took place. Verse number 5. He says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest." Okay, so Bible class, who sent Jesus? It's all, we're in church, you can say his name. All right, who sent Jesus? God did. God sent him. So now Jesus is telling his disciples, I am going back to the one that sent me. So where would that be? Going to heaven. Y'all follow me. How many of you are with me? Okay, raise your hand. All right, you're with me. Okay. So he says, I'm going back. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. He says, you're greatly upset because I've told you I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be buried. But he says, guess what? I'm going to come back. But because of that, you're scared. You're upset. Verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Underline that word truth right there. He says, I'm going to give you the truth. Not a truth. Not an option. I'm going to tell you the truth. Does anybody in this room like being lied to? Anybody in here like being told something that is not true? No. Honey, am I going bald? No, sweetie. You look just fine. It's all my barber's fault. That's why I'm going bald. No. We want to know the truth, even though sometimes we don't like the truth. But he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. It is expedient. If you like using a word a day, there's a good one right there. It is expedient. That means it is vitally important. It's something that is necessary. Now, teenagers, children, I encourage you this morning. Tomorrow morning when you go to school, use this word in a sentence to your teacher. It will impress them and win friends. Amen? It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The word Comforter. Comforter. It is not the word that talks about that blanket you put on your bed at night when you go to sleep. That is not the Comforter that's talking about. The word Comforter is talking about paraclete. One to come alongside. One to make mediation between God and man for you. The one who's come alongside you and guide you and help you in your life. I'm going to send another Comforter to you, he says. If I go away. And then he says this. If I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, that means he's going to come. He doesn't say if he comes. He says when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Who is it that convicts the world of sin? The Holy Spirit, God himself. I can't convict you. Although I want to jump up and down with jumping jacks, and I want to turn cartwheels, and I want to have a show, and I want to have fireworks, if I could somehow convict you and to show you sin, I would do it. But guess what? I can't do it. I can get down on my hands and knees and walk across glass and crawl through lava to somehow convict you. I can't do it. Because that's an emotional response to me. Brothers and sisters, that conviction has got to come from God himself. But the problem is, we don't want to respond to that conviction. We've hardened our hearts. We've chosen not to listen. I don't want nothing to do with it. Romans chapter 1 talks about that. God says, hey, I love you. I'm offering this to you. You want nothing to do with it? Fine, you choose it. But the Holy Spirit is comforting us, but He's also convicting us. Right and wrong is not determined by me. How many of you are glad it's not determined by me? But guess what? Newsflash, it's not determined by you either. It's not determined by our government. Whew, praise the Lord for that. Right and wrong is determined right here. Well, I don't believe that, Brother Brian. Okay, so where is your right and wrong determined from? Let me give you a scenario. Okay, let's say that you don't believe that this is where right and wrong is based. That you are the type of person who believes that everything is just based upon circumstances. That your determination that right and wrong is based upon what you feel and you like. Okay, so if I decide I'm going to come down there and I'm going to take this guitar that Brother Allen plays so well, and I pick up this guitar and I smash it on this pew, and then I take the jagged edges and I run over to, let's pick a likely, Jason Boston back there who's not listening. So I take the, smash the guitar and I run back there and I stab Jason Boston in the chest with it. How many of you agree that is wrong? Brother Allen does because that's his guitar. Jason does because he's the one getting stabbed. Sarah, she might be jumping for joy. I don't know about the whole situation. But that's wrong to do. According to what? But you don't believe this is right. So where does that wrongness come from? I determine right and wrong. And to me, it was right to do. How many of you think that's crazy and insane? There's a lot of people, though, who determine right and wrong based upon what they think is right and wrong. And that's how they're living their lives. But wait a minute. There's some Christians living the same life that way. They determine what's right and wrong based upon what Facebook says. What Fox News says. What CNN says. They're determining what's right and wrong based upon what their emotions feel and what they feel like and what they want to do and what they don't want to do. Brothers and sisters, there has got to be a basis of truth. There's got to be truth. If it's not this, then where is it? If this is wrong, I'm serious, if this is wrong, then you have got no hope. Then you better find some truth. But if this is right, we have hope. Does that make sense? So Jesus said before the crucifixion, I'm going to leave, fellas. When I leave, I'm going to send somebody else. So what does he do when he appears through that wall? It says he breathes on them. And what did he breathe on them? Look, go back with me real quick, John chapter 20. What does he breathe on them? He says, receive ye coronavirus. What does he say? Receive you who? The Holy Ghost. The promise I made is the promise I keep. When does the Holy Ghost come inside the life of the believer? The very moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Holy Ghost convicts. The Holy Ghost draws you to God the Father. But He comes to live inside when you receive Christ as your Savior. Let me ask you a question. Is He inside of you today? Is he living inside of you today? If he is, here's the next question. Are you listening to him? Are you ignoring him? Jesus said, fellas, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, was he playing around? Why did he give them the Holy Ghost that day? Why? They were scared, they were confused, and they didn't know what to do. Are you scared and confused today? Do you not know what to do today? I know somebody who can tell you what to do. The Holy Ghost. Oh, and by the way, just in case you didn't realize, the Holy Ghost wrote this. He is our hope. He is our strength. And I'm glad that the truth, not a truth, the truth, is right here. Now, I want to live my life following the truth better. I ain't perfect. My English ain't any good either. But I want to grow closer to him by living the truth. How about you? Are you scared? Are you confused? Are you bewildered? Here's the truth. Jesus said, fellas, ladies, call upon me. I'm here. I'm here today. Let's bow our heads, Clarence. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. As a matter of fact, I don't know everything going on in my own life. So I can't even begin to understand what God's dealing with you about. Or maybe you're scared about, or you're confused about. But I do know someone who knows. Someone who loves you. Someone who wants to guide you. Someone who wants to live inside of you. This is not the time to talk to your friends. This is not the time to be moving around and poking each other. I do know someone who cares. And that someone is God Almighty Himself. Are you confused this morning? Are you wondering what's going on in your life? You have an issue at work, an issue at school, an issue with a family member perhaps? God knows about it. And He cares. This is the time. This is the time to listen to Him. So here's my prayer for you. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray. My prayer for you is that you would listen to the Holy Spirit. You would let Him lead you and guide you. You would open up your heart to Him and say, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me for not listening. Forgive me for not doing what You want me to do. I want to be filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your comfort and Your care. But God, help me to follow You today. So now's your time. You can come forward and pray if you want. You can pray where you're sitting. It's perfectly fine. But let's take a few moments, and then I'll come and close us in prayer. He's here. If you'll listen. If you'll listen. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. God, I know that we're at times confused and scared. We don't know what to do or how to do it or when to do it. A lot of bewilderment out there. A lot of false teaching going on. A lot of influence in our lives that tries to turn us away from you. I pray, God, that instead we would listen to you. Instead, we would find the truth in your word, and we'd follow you. Because you, indeed, are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to you except through Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us to live the truth. Help us to share the truth. And help us, God, to understand and realize that you are the truth. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen.